College football nerds here talking Michigan and Washington, huge Pac-12 and Big Ten matchup to start the season in week two. A little bit of housekeeping because some of y'all maybe haven't been around so much this year. We did a live show Saturday night. It was 3 hours long. It was awesome. It was a great discussion, great chat. We're doing one of those every Saturday night for the foreseeable future, 10 p.m. Eastern. So there's plenty to talk about. A lot of action already happened throughout the day. And we'll have this one to discuss as well. Let us know in the comments what you think this score is going to be. And if you want to catch the live show that you missed, we'll have it in podcast form available. Links will be in the description and you can do the replay on YouTube as well. All right, Josh, disappointing first game for Washington. Probably the weirdest box score I've ever seen. Look, Jimmy Lake's going to have a defense that's going to roll out there and play some defense. So I'm not concerned about the 13 points they gave up. I'm concerned about the 7 that they scored. So for Michigan fans who haven't, because I think this was on like the Pac-12 network, so not just Michigan fans, a lot of people didn't get to see this game. Maybe give Michigan fans a primer on what the problems were for Washington and maybe if there's a silver lining for Washington fans based on what you saw.
Washington came out of that game. They scored on the opening drive, 9 plays, 78 yards, and it felt like everything was fine after the first series. And I was actually watching this with my wife, and we were about 2 or 3 series in, and we kind of turned to each other and I said, "Do you have any feeling like Washington's going to lose this game?" And she said, "No, like not at all." And what we saw as we kept watching, more than anything, it's one thing to see a quarterback do well in camp or 7-on-7 and to know how they're going to like play in a scrimmage. It's another thing to see how an offense responds when the bullets are flying and when you start getting hits on that quarterback and there's real, you know, intensity at the defensive line. And what really happened in that game is Montana started getting some pressure. Now, Montana is an FCS team. They didn't really play last year. They like most of the season got canceled. And they've been pretty good in FCS, but they're still an FCS team. But they've got enough guys that they can put a little pressure on them, and they did. And they got some pressure on Washington. They stymied the run game way too much, even in spite of that, which maybe you'll touch on in a minute. But they were able to kind of rattle Washington's quarterback. And at one point, Washington like gets down the field and throws an interception, really on like their 42-yard line, and that was right before the end of the first half. They've been hit a lot, and it felt like at that point the quarterback for Washington just snapped. I felt like from that point forward, Morris was really ineffective, and really the entire second half of that game, they got nothing going. It just total anemia. Really bad interception that led to Montana's only touchdown in the game, put Montana ahead. And in the ESPN box score, as of the end of the third quarter, they had Washington with an 80% chance of winning. And then after that interception and touchdown, it flipped all the way to Montana having an 80% chance of winning. And I think that's reflective of how much Washington's offense had gone in the tank in the middle of that game with the quarterback, and how difficult it was for either team to score. So, yeah, I mean, Washington's defense totally looked up to par. I mean, they gave up some yards rushing, but it really wasn't a ton. And they really gave up 4.6 yards per attempt, really nothing through the air. The problem was, I mean, maybe you can talk about, like, you can probably make an argument that it was a stupid decision-making that they threw 46 passes with a quarterback that was throwing 4.9 yards per attempt and threw 3 picks. And they only ran the ball, 22 times? Like half as much? And they ran it for like 2-4 yards a carry. But, I mean, you had a quarterback that was clearly very rattled. So that's really my takeaways. The game seemed to start fine, but Washington's offensive line did not hold up. And when the quarterback started seeing pressure and Montana started really bringing the heat, which partly why the Washington run game folded, because they were bringing so many guys at the line of scrimmage, and the Washington quarterback just, I mean, he just, I think, mentally came unraveled, and the whole team fell apart with him.
I mean, look, 4.9 yards per attempt from the quarterback and three interceptions is not great. I mean, that's a huge cause for concern, but I'm much more concerned about this 2.0 yard per carry against an FCS team. And that's because, and you and I talked about like what we saw in this game and what we see just looking at the raw box score is the thing that jumps out at you is a team like Washington, you know, a Power 5 FBS program, they lose to FCS schools sometimes, and that's not usually the concern. The concern for me is the 2 yards a carry. You got to be able to run the ball some. If you lose this game 37-34 in a wild one, okay. But if you lose this game and you can only run the ball 2 yards per carry, Josh, isn't that the red flag in this game more than anything else? Win, lose, or draw, even if they eked out a win in this game, aren't you more concerned about that more than anything else?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying that you probably would touch on is when you're playing a team that has around 30 scholarships less than you do, you should be able to wear them down with the ground game. And I think part of that was just really, really bad coaching, frankly, again, that they threw 46 passes and only had about 20 carries. They didn't establish the run or even attempt to run the ball enough to wear Montana down such that they can put him away. And I've often said this, you beat inferior teams on a consistent basis by running the football. It is the thing that gives consistency to an offense. Now, explosiveness and scoring comes from passing, but you will always have good days and bad days throwing the football. It's like, you know, throwing is a skill. Catching is a skill. Like golf or kicking, sometimes you have the yips. But running is more about athleticism, and it's more about intent. And if you want to run and you try to run, eventually it will take over. And depth from FCS teams usually gives out, and that's why they have games that look close for a half, and then they almost always end up losing them, and that's usually because depth takes over. But Washington never established it. So yeah, I mean, I'm concerned, kind of on two levels. I mean, one, I'm concerned they didn't run the ball well, but I think the other side of it is probably more of a coaching decision, and the fact that because they were behind and they had to score at the end of the game and start throwing even more, it all snowballed on them where they never established the run and they never used the run to dominate an inferior opponent the way they probably should have.
Yeah, and that's why they run game and defense travels past a game. There's going to be a game where it just doesn't show up throughout the course of the season. So you're right. Like if you have, you know, if you're facing an inferior team, you really should just lean on it. On the other side, in Michigan fans, you've been patient, so thank you. Hopefully, you enjoyed the primer of what we saw on Saturday. We saw an explosion of points, and I asked you in the live show, is this a, you know, Michigan has fooled us more than once on offense, and they did it last year with the Minnesota game. We got real high on them. Turned out to not be great. And then you look at you look at this game, and I hate the Ronnie Bell injury happened. That scares me a little bit for their skill players over the course of the season, maybe not for this game. I hate it. I hate it because he was, you know, he had the ridiculous catch wiped off the board, had the bomb. Obviously, you want to see him in this probably final season not go down with the injury in the first game, and it looks like it might be an ACL. They ran the ball well. They had a ton of points in this game. So from that standpoint, like you can't be upset, right? But for me, two things. One, everybody's going to look at the 47, 48 points they scored and say, oh, that's awesome. And I think it is, especially given what we've seen from them in the past, even against inferior opponents. One thing that concerns me a little bit is they got to that 47 with a lot of bombs, a lot of long plays, a lot of, you know, 2-3 play scoring drives, which is not a bad thing. I want to make that clear before Michigan fans get at me. It's not a bad thing. What I wanted to see was more of what we saw on the first drive, 11 plays, 75 yards. I want to see a quarterback that can run the offense, an offense that can consistently get 6-7 yards a play. Because that's when you see that you've had a matured offense. And I think they have had a matured offense. You know, Gattis in having another year under his belt or a year under his belt is a big difference. But I wanted to see that. So talk a little bit about that. Again, not a bad thing, but just kind of like what you were hoping for in this game that maybe we'll have to wait to the Washington game to see.
There were a lot of positives for Michigan coming out of this game. Obviously, a 47-14 win is always a good thing. Western Michigan has been one of the better G5s in recent years. They've given a lot of people scares. They've beaten some teams. It's a solid G5, and putting away anybody is big. And especially for Michigan, who's had trouble with teams they shouldn't have had trouble with in the last 5 to 10 years, I think you take away any positive you can get. And if your positive is you went 12 yards per attempt, you went, 8 yards a carry, I think that's a pretty big positive. In particular, the thing that impressed me the most from Michigan, more than any other game in recent memory for me, was I felt like their offense was a lot more explosive. I mean, Blake Corum is a dude, and he flashes. He's a guy that truly flashes. Like, Charbonnet is doing well at UCLA. He's a good back. He's a hard-nosed runner. I kind of see why he transferred. Corum is a high-level back that gives them a lot of versatility in the passing game, and he's a weapon. And I think when you paired him with guys like Bell, who was really explosive, and then other guys like Henning or Haskins, you ended up having a really, really strong, balanced attack that had weapons. And you had a quarterback in McNamara that I felt like was very, very efficient at distributing the football. The negative I would take away from it, and it's really not a negative, it's just the wait and see portion, was I felt like a lot of their plays came on big plays that were kind of busts or a lack of athleticism on Western Michigan's side. I know Western Michigan is a pretty good G5, but they look slow in the back seven. And Michigan earned their points, but if we're taking this as a projection for future games, I'm just a little bit skittish, and I'm always skittish in these early games, but especially here, of how much those explosive plays were due to the fact that they were playing a really outmatched opponent that couldn't line up athletically with Michigan. How many of those big explosive plays are going to be there when you place a team that, like Corum's really good, but he's still a running back, and DBs from most Power 5 teams are going to be able to run him down, where that, that long 30-yard carry, maybe it turns into a 20-yard carry. And, the big shots they took, like Baldwin and Bell had 60-plus yard plays. Henning had a 74-yard carry. Those plays might get reduced by 20 or 30 yards, and now you've got to have more consistency to score. And as much as, it's the result of their own success that they didn't have much opportunity to prove that they could sustain success, because they had so many short drives from these big explosives that they didn't really have many long drives. And in the drives where they didn't have an explosive play, more often than not, it actually ended quickly rather than ending up with like a 10-play scoring drive. They just didn't do it actually that much in this game.
Yeah, and again, I don't want Michigan fans to get mad. It's more like it's just what I wanted to see to know that they've taken the next step, because that's what... everybody remembers the big plays from the Clemsons and the Ohio States and the Alabamas, but what really is hard about those offensive, to face those teams, their offenses, is the fact that you can't get them off the field, that they're going to get that first down. They're going to get 6-7 yards of play, and they're just going to, when they need to, methodically wear on you with the scheme and the offense and performing in that, and then they hit the shot. And that's just, again, it's an incomplete. It's not a fail, because they showed that they can do the bomb. Let's see that they can do the methodical thing too. That's all. I want to see it. That's all. On the flip side, I'm really excited about what we saw defensively, because 14 points, yes, it's Western Michigan. Yes, it's a G5. But it's an experienced quarterback who put up a lot of points last year. Sure, it was against other G5 teams, but this is a team that can score some points. And Michigan was having none of it. So when we're looking at this game and we see that Michigan did have a really good defensive performance, does that concern you even more if you're a Washington fan, knowing that you couldn't score against Montana? Now, even if your defense shows up against Michigan, and there are some of those things that we haven't seen in terms of being able to consistently drive the field, are you concerned that you may not even be able to score?
I think it's a valid concern. That was a really, really bad outing from Washington, and they looked really out of sorts, and they didn't really look like they had many answers offensively for how they were going to be able to move the ball effectively. They had a lot of turnover at the skill positions, and I think it was expected that they would be able to fill those holes reasonably well. But they just kind of didn't. And I don't know why that is or how it's going to get fixed. But let me draw out a point here to say why this is actually a really hard game. First, you know, past results don't predict future outcomes. We say this a lot. Like, the fact that Washington lost to Montana does not mean they will lose the next game. It may mean they're not a very good team, and that's what we want to draw, but losing one game does not lose the next game unless it mentally affects you. I don't know how much Washington was trying to sandbag for the Michigan game. We've seen this. I think Pac-12 teams have been particularly bad about it, where they'll lose to an FCS or low-tier G5 in the opening week, and then they play their out-of-conference game or they play their big opponent in the week two or three, and they actually beat them. And I don't know, like, it's a lack of preparedness, focus. I don't know what it is. But the other thing is the two quarterbacks. Dylan Morris, the starting quarterback for Washington last year, 5.9 yards per attempt against Oregon State in his first start. Oregon State was a terrible team, and he had a terrible performance. Then he played Arizona, who's pretty good, and had 9.2 yards per attempt and two touchdowns with no interceptions. Totally different. Utah, 7.2 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, three interceptions. Bad day. Next week, he played Stanford, who's usually pretty good defensively, and he had 11 yards per attempt, threw for 254 yards. Totally up and down. And you got the same problem with McNamara. He ended last year going 7.2 yards per attempt in his start against Rutgers, who's a bad team, and then had a total bomb against Penn State, 91 yards on 25 attempts. So I don't really know what I'm going to get out of either team. Like, my confidence level for the offensive performance or the consistency in offensive performance from either school is really low. And from Washington, I feel like they were really bad last week, but I'm not sure how much they're going to be really terrible this week. And for Michigan, they were really great against Western Michigan, who was an overmatched opponent, particularly I thought in the back seven or in terms of speed. And I'm not sure how much that's going to progress to this week. So, like, last week, there's zero doubt in my mind Michigan was far better than Washington. The question is Michigan going to actually be that much better than Washington this week? Because that's the only thing that actually matters for who's going to win this game.
And Vegas is putting the same question out there, because I think the line, so it's 5-ish o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, so lines are starting to trickle in. Vegas has got Michigan as a 6-point favorite in this. So they're seeing the same question marks as you. I'm going to put some faith in Michigan right now. And I've been really tough on Harbaugh. I was tough on Gattis last year, or really more on the Gattis hire than anything else. I think Michigan is a decently coached team to win 8 to 10 games in the Big Ten, just not to ever be an elite team. I don't think they're ever going to be an elite team with Harbaugh, but that doesn't mean they can't be a good team. I don't think that should be the Michigan standard, but I also think a good team right now with some plus athletes should be able to beat a great defensive team in Washington that is poor offensively. So for me, and look, they might have had up and down, you know, performances from their quarterback last year, but they should have had an up performance running the ball like we touched on. So I'm not believing Vegas right now. I'm believing what I feel in my gut about Michigan. So I think this is actually a pretty big win for Michigan. Give me 27-13 for Michigan and tell me what you got.
Well, I think we're on the same page. I really kind of expect both teams are going to struggle offensively in this game. Where I differ is, call it a gut feeling or call it a little bit from having watched it, I feel like Washington just had an implosion moment playing Montana. And I don't think that it happens twice in a row. I still think Michigan wins this game, but I think it's going to be low scoring and maybe a little closer than people anticipate. I'm going to say Michigan 24-20. It's still too early, and I'll be, you know, Washington may prove to be a really, really bad football team, but I feel like this was more like Washington coming out and just laying an absolute egg. I don't think they're capable of way more than they showed, but I think they're capable of something more than they showed. And I think what's going to end up happening in this game is Michigan's going to end up being in much more of a low-scoring dogfight where things are just tremendously harder than they were against Western Michigan. So, yeah, I've got it 24-20, and I would have less confidence in this being a crazy thing if the line didn't end up starting to roll out at 5.5 or 6, which means it looks like Vegas thinks I'm not crazy in this line of thought. I think most people are going to pick Michigan at 6. And so if Vegas thought that this was, you know, it was insane and that Washington's actually terrible this year, they'd be taking, absolutely taking a beating. And because everybody's going to pick Michigan and Michigan's going to win by 12 and Vegas is going to give up a mint. When I see scores that are a lot lower or spreads that are a lot lower than are anticipated, that I think Vegas personally, I think they make their money by setting those spreads as trap bets. We screamed on Twitter that UCLA was a trap bet with LSU. There were so many red flags. So many red flags in LSU. You can follow us on CFB Nerds on Twitter, and there's a bunch of tweets we put out about all the reasons we thought that LSU probably wasn't the pick in that game, and the low spread was actually a reason for it. Here, it's the same thing. This spread is lower than it quite makes sense at first glance, and I'm thinking it's a little bit of a trap. I still think Michigan wins, but I think this game's going to be a lot harder than some people are.
That's it for us on this one. Washington and Michigan, both fan bases. Y'all get in those comments and let us know what you think this game's going to look like, what the score's going to be. Don't forget, live show, 10 o'clock Saturday night. And also, just if you haven't really been around our channel a lot, we cover a lot of games. We do a top 10 every week, which we'll probably release later this week. It's a lot of fun. We touch on other subjects, not just game previews and reviews. So hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. I think you'll really enjoy just the discussion. And the Saturday night show was awesome. Go check it out. If anything, check that out before you hit subscribe and test us out a little bit. If you like it, you know what to do. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.